We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Tuesday is, as we all know, Election Day, but it's also the day that the creator of Freaks and Geeks and the 40-year-old virgin brings his stand-up routine to Turner Hall Ballroom.
It's not exactly an antidote to political overload, but Judd Apatow hopes he'll provide a couple of hours of respite. We reached him by phone at his home to find out more. Judd, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, we were working on Trainwreck, and every night Amy Schumer would go to the Comedy Cellar in New York and do stand-up. And I went down there a few times and watched her, and I just thought, I used to do that. I did that for 7 years, a long time ago, and I got jealous, I think. So one night I said, I'm going to do stand-up tonight just for you, Amy, to make you laugh, just to show you what it was like when I used to do it. And I did a set, and it oddly went pretty well. And the owner of the club said, hey, anytime you want to come in, just pop by. We'd love to put you on. And no one was ever nice to me like that when I was a kid starting out. And I thought, I'm going to take advantage of this. And every night, the entire shoot of Trainwreck, I went down to the Comedy Cellar at the end of the day and started doing stand-up again. And then I just decided, well, maybe I'll just commit to make this part of my life. And it's been so much fun.
Did you have anything in mind that first time to actually get? I mean, most people have routines and they practice them.
Well, I had a few stories that I knew were semi-amusing that I had told on talk shows and things like that. So I had a sense that it wouldn't be too awful. But I didn't know what I wanted to say. And I literally had to go back and listen to some comedy albums to remind myself of the format of stand-up jokes. Because I hadn't written in that style for so long. I like sat down and listened to, you know, a Patton Oswalt record and some other records. And I thought, oh, that's how you develop an idea and look at it from all angles. And it was really fun. I was like trying things that are difficult, and there's nothing harder than stand up. So it's fun for me to try to be as good as everybody else. Everyone else is so brilliant. There's so many incredible comics right now. I like to challenge myself and see if I can not be the lull in the show.
So what is the muscle that is used in that kind of writing versus the kind of writing, the script writing that you were doing for TV shows and movies?
Well, like I do a bit about how every morning my wife and I wake up and we have a competition, which is who slept worse. And we review our night, and, you know, my wife will be like, you know, I fell asleep at 11, and I woke up at 2 in the morning, and I watched 3 episodes of The Barefoot Contessa, and then I took an Ambien and woke up in the car eating spaghetti with glass all over my feet. And I'll say, I went to bed at 11, I woke up at 4, I watched The Matrix, I got hungry, no food, so I cooked and ate a turkey. And we debate whose night was worse. But if I was writing a movie, I might just show that. That might just be a detail in something like Knocked Up or This Is 40, where you see their night and you see the difficulties they have sleeping and how it affects their day. So it really is an extension of the type of comedy I do in the movies, just in the monologue form.
Well, I have to say, in a monologue form, in a way it lets me in as an audience member even more, because I can put myself in that position and say, well, no, mine was even worse.
Yes, I think that's what's fun about it. I mean, I love telling stories, but there's also something great about a direct conversation with the crowd. And you can talk about things that are happening in the news and in life that don't fit into a movie. So if something crazy happens in the world, you can just get up that night and talk about it.
Something crazy happening in the world, that never happens.
It never happens. Literally 3 things have happened while we were talking.
Exactly. And you're going to have to work them into your routine.
Exactly.
So after you made that decision, okay, I'm going to go back to this, I'm going to kind of revisit this, make this a part of my life, did you fall right into it pretty easily? Did it feel comfortable, or did it take a little time?
Well, it probably took about a year till I started feeling reasonably strong at it. It was never horrible. I wasn't bombing at all, but I could tell I wasn't as good as other people for a while. And, you know, there's some freak show amusement for the crowd to see me try. So people seem somewhat amused at the effort. And then at some point it crossed over where I felt like, okay, I'm doing this at a solid level. I don't need to be embarrassed about how it's going. And then you just try to go deeper and deeper, and you sit and you just go, well, what's interesting about being up there? Because you can tell short, funny jokes. You can tell long stories. You can try to think of weird voices. You can do impressions. I mean, the great thing about a stand-up stage is just, it's whatever you want it to be. And I like the open-ended nature of that. You know, it's as creative as you have the energy to make it.
And one of the things I think you get to do, too, at least in the comedy things that I've seen of yours, is that you get to go pretty dark, too. And maybe movies, unless you have complete control, wouldn't necessarily let you go there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you can get real with an audience about things you're concerned about in the world. And you don't have to sugarcoat it. It's actually quite the opposite. You could go into your deepest, darkest fears about something that's happening in the world and explore it. And I think that the audience likes to have that outlet. They like to see somebody, run all the permutations of a problem with them and to help everybody try to figure out how do we feel about it? How do we feel about our government right now? How do we feel about how we're treating women? How do we feel about, right now with the journalism and Saudi Arabia and what should our standards be? How do we feel about human rights versus just making cash? And you can get up on stage and have that conversation with people.
Well, and it seems like it's one of the few places we can have that conversation now. We don't really have a comfortable public place other than like that sort of stand-up, and I wonder if you guys are doing a real public service.
Well, certainly politicians are playing a very complex game. They have their public face and their private face, and they're serving their donors, but they still want their constituents to support them, and they're trying to help their constituents while still getting reelected. So there's a lot of, BS happening. And, comedians don't have that obligation. They could just say, this is crazy. This is bananas that, we're more upset about this or that. And it's really important that someone talks away, because if not, you just feel like you're being gaslit by the world. It reminds you that you're not bananas for being deeply troubled about all sorts of things that are happening right now.
Yeah, that you actually can say, oh my gosh, yes, yeah, somebody else feels that way too, and is saying so out loud.
Yeah, especially when like the president lies like 7 times a day. Somebody has to call it out, and journalists call it out, but they also dance around it, and they're just like, well, he misspoke, or, well, that actually wasn't accurate. Or a comedian who go, no, that's just a lie. He knows that's not true. And so there's not the same rules about how you express yourself. With a journalist, people want them, they dream that they would be, people who are just trying to tell you the truth and they don't have an opinion. Obviously, most of them do in some way. But a comedian could just say, well, this is my opinion. This is what I make of this.
You mentioned earlier in this conversation about, how women are being treated, and that is a cause that you have really pushed, with the Me Too movement, having women treated well in both your industry and in just in the world in general. And, what brought you to that?
Well, I'm married to a very strong, intelligent, creative woman, Leslie Mann, and I see what the life of a creative person and an actress is in our industry. So at first I was shocked at how many bad scripts she was asked to consider and how rarely people wrote good parts for women, that they were always servicing the man, always getting the guy from A to B. And so the first step for me was just understanding the sexism in the industry, because clearly, you know, women are more than half the population. So why shouldn't half of these movies be for women? It didn't make any sense. It also seemed like a giant market that no one was paying any attention to, out of some sort of institutionalized racism and sexism, sorry, although a lot of it is very racist as well. And so it just made me think about my own writing and telling stories, you know, about women and for women. And then I realized the best way to do that would be to team up with people. So when I do This Is 40 or Knocked Up, Leslie's a big part of that creative process. And, you know, I worked with Lena Dunham on Girls and Amy Schumer on Trainwreck and Kristen Wiig on Bridesmaids. You know, people have stories to tell, and you have to make a choice to aggressively seek out doing that. It's very easy for me to only make movies about white, pudgy Jewish guys. That will always be my inclination, because that's who I am. That's what I understand. But at some point, you have to realize, well, there are other types of people out there.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned the Lena Dunham and Kristen Wiig. I mean, some really incredibly funny women. And I have to say, growing up when I did, I'm a little bit older than you are. And, you know, it was really hard to find funny women who weren't being so self-deprecating like Phyllis Diller, where, you know, it was all about how ugly I am, as opposed to just being funny. And I find that so refreshing that we're getting a little bit of it. It seems like it's coming out into sort of the general consciousness.
Well, I think everything has really changed in the last 10 years or so, with people like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey and Issa Rae. And, you know, there's a lot more opportunities for women to create their own shows, to tell their stories, to be the showrunner. And I think Lena Dunham was a huge part of that. I think that people saw Lena do something that they had only seen people like Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld do. And it woke up a lot of women to the possibilities of being an auteur and a visionary. And to not just try to get a part in someone's show, but to be the creator.
So in the business that you're in, and you're still, I know you still have your hand in writing scripts for movies, you're producing, you're directing, you're doing all of this. How do you manage to balance it all? And how do they feed each other for you?
Well, I just go where I'm interested, and also where I think there are people I want to collaborate with. Because, you know, when you make a movie, you have to hang out with that person for about 3 to 5 years. So you are looking for people that experience will be fun with. So we did The Big Sick with Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon. And that was 5 years of a lot of lunches and conversations and work sessions. And then it's just what I'm interested in. I just did a documentary about Gary Shandling that's about to come out on DVD at the end of the month. And it's called The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. And he was my mentor and gave me all my first jobs. And I just had an instinct, oh, I'd love to really go deep and try to learn all the lessons of Gary's life through making this documentary about his work and also his spiritual life, which is fascinating. And, you know, it's not a money-making endeavor. It's just something that I felt like would enrich me to think about. And then, by learning so much about Gary, I feel like I take it into the next project I'll write. So some lesson, some wisdom will affect how I produce or write my next scripted project.
I would guess that what might even affect maybe what you do on stage, too. I always loved his delivery. It was so subtle.
No, he was a legendary stand-up comedian. Yeah. And I learned so much from him, because the first job I ever had in show business of any significance was he hired me to write his jokes for the Grammys with him when I was a kid. And by sitting with him, writing jokes with him, it helped me learn how to write jokes.
And also how to perform them? I mean, did you take from his stand-up persona and delivery?
Well, what he said to me when I started doing stand-up again, he said, "The only time you're doing it wrong is when you look like you're trying to be a comedian." And I thought, well, that's the perfect advice, because really I'm trying to get closer and closer to myself on stage. And that was the journey Gary was always on. How truthful can you be? How deep to your core can you get in the work?
And that's really what we want, you know, as an audience. There's the connection right there, because otherwise it's superficial and it's not that interesting in the long run.
Yeah, you connect with people because you feel like they're sharing something with you. They're sharing their life, their stories, their opinions. And a lot of times creative people suddenly do amazing work in the middle of their lives, and you feel like they've shedded all the artifice and they've just become themselves. And that's when you like them the most.
Do you feel like you've become yourself?
I feel like I'm getting there. I certainly have mined a lot of my life. You know, I've done television and movies about high school and college and falling in love and having babies and long-term marriage and disease and death. So I'm running out of life experience.
You just have to get some more.
Exactly.
Well, Judd Apatow, it has been such a pleasure talking with you. We are so looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee on November 6th. Happy Election Day, by the way. We're going to need you on November 6th.
Well, it'll be a great few-hour break from what will be a stressful day from everyone on all sides. So I think it'll be a good thing to do before going home and biting your nails.
Exactly. And not sleeping.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Judd Apatow is a comedian, writer, and director. His movies include This Is 40, Knocked Up, and Superbad. His TV shows include Freaks and Geeks and Love. He'll perform his stand-up show on Tuesday evening at Turner Hall. There's more information at WUWM.com.